listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is time to study the daily New Testament reading. Our guest pastor joining us by phone today, the Reverend Alan Boyster from Hope Lutheran Church in Granite City, Illinois. Pastor Boyster, welcome to His Time.
Good morning, Andy. It's great to be here.
Glad to have you as our guest today. Looking forward to studying God's Word in Matthew 19. Share with us a little bit about your congregation, Hope Lutheran Church in Granite City, Illinois.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it. Hope Lutheran is an elderly congregation, traditional-type church service. We Bible studies 8:30, church service 9:30 every Sunday morning, divine service. I've only been the pastor here for about 4 months. Pastor David Fielding, Dr. David Fielding, was the pastor here for 41-plus years previous to that, which is, says something about the people's support for him and what a good man he has been. I did my vicarage here, and he was very gracious, helping me along, and has since then retired. And I'm an old man, but I'm a new pastor. The congregation has been extremely supportive. The Holy Spirit is working very hard. He's truthful to His promises. I wish I had half His energy. As way of evidence, in the last 8 weeks or so, we've had 5 baptisms here at Hope for a small congregation. 4 adult confirmands. This coming Sunday, we have another adult lady that will be baptized. We've got some new programs, some new Bible studies, emphasize being in the Word. Things are going well. I can take absolutely none of the credit for that. It's all the Holy Spirit for me. As an old man and rookie pastor, I live by 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Good people, a Holy Spirit at work here at Hope, and if anyone needs a place to worship on Sunday morning, come on out and join us.
Well, very good. Thanks be to God for the ministry there at Hope Lutheran Church in Granite City, Illinois. Let's talk a little bit about the text that we're studying today, Matthew chapter 19, verses 1 through 15. Pastor, what would you like for us to know as we prepare to dig into this text?
Yeah, okay, sure. Thank you. I want to be careful here as I do this not to study the text ahead of the text, but but there are some interesting things here. It's going to start out with the words, when Jesus had finished saying these things. In other words, what has happened is he has just finished the fourth discourse in the book of Matthew. You can break the book of Matthew down into 5 discourses. Some would say it parallels the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, Matthew with his Jewish tradition. And so now what's happening in the Bible study that we have today, we're beginning the fifth discourse. And in this discourse now, Jesus is now heading towards, he's in Galilee, he's now heading towards Judea. He's heading towards his suffering, death, and resurrection. Opposition has happened before, but it is on the increase. And he uses this opportunity often, including here, to teach his disciples some things. And so we have the Pharisees trying to catch up with Jesus, trying to trip him up, and as always, trying to work him over. And in this case, he uses the idea of divorce. And I would also say, as we start this, some look at Matthew chapter 19 as, okay, when is divorce allowed? Well, that's not what Jesus is getting at here. He's really taking us back, and we'll see this into Genesis, what God intended for marriage and or for those who are blessed to remain single. While man, when our sinfulness, sometimes are looking for the loopholes.
All right. Well, let's take a look. Matthew chapter 19, verses 1 through 15 is what we're studying today with Pastor Alan Boyster from Hope Lutheran Church in Granite City, Illinois. If you have a question or a comment along the way, give us a call or an email. The number 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. That's 1-800-730-2727. The email address, kfuo@kfuo.org. Let's take a look at the text. Matthew chapter 19, verse 2. Verses. Now when Jesus had finished these sayings, he went away from Galilee and entered the region of Judea beyond the Jordan, and large crowds followed him, and he healed them there. So this gives us a little idea of where Jesus is, gives us some indication where he is and what's going on, sets the scene for us.
Yeah, thank you. And again, fifth discourse just starting. He's left Galilee. He is now on the east side of the Jordan River, if you're in the geography. And of course, as always, a large crowd following. He shows mercy, he shows love and compassion, so it says there he's continuing to heal the folks and just kind of sets the stage for what's going to be coming up here.
All right. Anything else about verses 1 and 2 before we go on to the next section?
No, I think we're pretty good here.
All right. Verse 3, and Pharisees came up to him and tested him by asking, is it lawful to divorce one's wife for any cause? He answered, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female, and said, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate. They said to him, why then did Moses command one to give a certificate of divorce and to send her away? He said to them, because of your hardness of heart, Moses allowed you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. All right, Pharisees came up to him, tested him by asking, is it lawful to divorce one's wife for any cause? Why are they testing him?
Yeah, exactly. Now you've hit the whole meat of the Bible study scripture reading that we're looking at this morning. Of course, they're trying to trip him up to make a mistake and discredit him, and they don't see him as the Messiah, the Savior of the world. They're looking for a political leader, and Jesus has got popularity, and the crowds are following him, and that's not good for the Pharisees. So they try and trip him up, and there's a couple ways they do this here, and it's kind of interesting. Remember now, we're in the territory, maybe I should have said this, of Herod Antipas. And Herod, of course, is the one who took his brother's wife, and John the Baptist had told him that's not the thing to be doing. He was jailed and ultimately beheaded for this. So right away, where this discussion is coming up, Jesus is in some difficult territory with things that are going on. But more importantly, in trying to trip him up, is the idea that the Pharisees are looking and asking Jesus, is it lawful to divorce? And in their way of thinking, no matter how Jesus' answer, he's going to be wrong. Because if he says, no, it's not lawful to divorce, they're going to say, well, wait a minute. In Deuteronomy chapter 24, or in the law, Moses permitted or allowed for divorce. And now you're not allowing this? Or if Jesus says, no, it's not, you can divorce, now he's going to be going against the sixth commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. So in their way of thinking, they got Jesus completely trapped into a corner where there's no way out. But of course, our Lord and Savior, always in control, always knows what's going on. And Jesus here, in fact, in some of the passages you read there, doesn't take them back to Deuteronomy where Moses makes allowance for divorce. He takes them back to Genesis where our Lord and Savior instituted marriage. And we go back and we start thinking about God as our creator, who created us in love, God who made us people of relationship, God who created Eve from Adam, and it was God who brought Eve to Adam, and it was God who instituted marriage, and it was God who said the two shall not be separated, they shall be one. And so Jesus then takes them back not to Deuteronomy, but to Genesis, to what's going on here.
He answered, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? And he said, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh, just as you pointed out. He takes them back to the beginning of marriage.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting, too, here, he kind of asks them a rhetorical question and gives them a bit of an indictment, you know, have you not read? You know, you guys are the religious leaders who are supposed to know these things. What's going on for you? So in typical fashion, the Pharisees are out to get at Jesus, but he's in control and perfect in all ways.
So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let man not separate. We hear this at weddings all the time.
Yes, and it's interesting. Of all the things that God instituted, this is the one thing that he instituted before man fell into sin. And it was the idea of the two becoming one flesh, and that we're going to talk I'm sure, coming up here a little bit about divorce and when a divorce and all those sorts of things, because we get into those ways. But really, it goes back to what God had intended, that the two become one flesh and not be separated. That it's not, divorce is, turns out, can be the lesser of two evils in our sinful way. But as God had created it, there was no conditions for divorce.
They said to him, "Why then did Moses command one to give a certificate of divorce and to send her away?"
Yeah. It's interesting here. If you break these down, the section, there's kind of three areas that we get into. Verses 3 through 6, how many lawful reasons are there for divorce? They're trying the trapping, like we said. And then in verses 7 through 9, the Pharisees make the mistake of coming back at Jesus with an objection. And so, you know, why then did Moses allow for divorce? Well, what was going on is, because of the sinfulness of man, and in love and compassion and mercy, Moses then permitted for divorce. And so, you know, it's as if, and maybe not a perfect analogy, but the pastor's sitting in his office wanting to do everything right, and here comes the lady in who's been battered with a bat, baseball bat, for the 20th time by her husband, and you said, well, you know, no, you can't get a divorce. There's sin in the world, and so there's mercy and love and compassion for that sinfulness. But again, Jesus is not going back and saying, hey, don't ask me about loopholes. Marriage is marriage. It's how God intended it. But the Pharisees, of course, are not looking in those terms.
They said to him, "Why then did Moses command one to give a certificate of divorce and to send her away?" Jesus' response, he said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, Moses allowed you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so."
Yeah, perfectly. You know, Jesus always says things exactly right. He managed in 10 words or so there what it's taken me the last 5 or 6 minutes to try and describe, in that God never intended for divorce, and hardness of heart and the troubles of man has realized what's going on.
"And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery."
This is probably, if you're doing preparation or personal Bible study, for me, this is maybe the most difficult verse in all this to understand or consider, because we come along and we're saying that God never intends for divorce. And then if you look at this, Jesus is saying here, well, except for marital unfaithfulness. So what gives, Pastor? What's going on here? Well, any divorce is a violation of the sixth commandment. But in this verse 9, Jesus is saying that when the adultery has already been committed, then now we're back to this hardness of heart and the sinfulness of man and what happens, sometimes divorce being the lesser of two evils. And Jesus is not here trying to speak to the drug addict, the baseball-beaten wife, or any other exact conditions for divorce. He's saying, you know, given that this marital unfaithfulness has happened, then there may be a basis for divorce here. But it's again, after the sinfulness, after the things has happened, not coming at it from the before fact.
Pastor, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I kind of like the spin on the word adultery. Mm. To adulterate something, my previous life before going to seminary, I was an engineer. And to adulterate something is in a laboratory setting, controlled conditions, and a contaminant gets into it. And so then the term is, it's adulterated. And here then in the sixth commandment, do not commit adultery. And we're thinking about the married couple and something impure coming into it. And almost always, virtually 100% of the time in a laboratory setting, when something is adulterated, it's not good. It's a contaminant. It's not what should be happening. And of course, here we're seeing this in verse 9.
Anything else up through verse 9, Pastor, before we take a look at the next two sections?
If you're really into being a biblical scholar, Back in the biblical times, divorce was as prevalent as it is today. So it's not just a more recent problem or whatever. So as the Pharisees and Jesus are having this discussion, it was a problem even back then. And there were two real schools of thought going on between two of the rabbis. Hillel was a more liberal rabbi, and he had said, hey, you should be able to divorce. And Shammai was a more stricter rabbi. These were the two of the big guys back in this era, and he was saying there is no basis for divorce. So in addition to all this trapping and everything going on, there's all this debate and discussion, perhaps just like today. And my point is that I guess things really haven't changed much from before to today or from today back to then.
We're studying the Daily New Testament reading with Pastor Alan Boyster from Hope Lutheran Church in Granite City, Illinois today. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850, or toll-free 1-800-730-2727. The email address, kfuo@kfuo.org. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll continue studying in Matthew chapter 19. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.
Worldwide KFUO salutes our day sponsor on this Wednesday, October 28th, 2015. Today's day sponsor is Charles Fisher. Today's day sponsor has made a contribution to Worldwide KFUO in loving memory of his father, Frank Fisher, on his birthday. Once again, we say thank you to Charles Fisher of Marissa, Illinois, today's Worldwide KFUO day sponsor.
We make difficult Bible passages cry uncle.
We put the chokehold on contemporary issues.
We put the chokehold on contemporary issues?
No, sorry, I panicked. It's all I could think of on the spur of the moment.
We're Wrestling with the Basics, Saturday mornings at 9:04 on KFUO AM 850. We put the fun in the fundamentals.
Saturday mornings at 9 on KFUO, the messenger of good news.
You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. We are studying the Daily New Testament reading with Pastor Alan Boyster from Hope Lutheran Church in Granite City, Illinois. We are in Matthew chapter 19. Pastor, are we ready to take a look at verses 10 and following?
Yep, let's do it.
All right. The disciples said to him, "If such is the case of a man with his wife, it is better not to marry." But he said to them, "Not everyone can receive this saying, but only those to whom it is given. For there are eunuchs who have been so from birth, and there are eunuchs who have been made eunuchs by men, and there are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. Let the one who is able to receive this receive it." So the disciples said, if such is the case of a man with his wife, it is better not to marry.
What's going on? The whole scripture reading here changes its focus. Everything up to what you just read was between Jesus and the Pharisees. Now the conversation turns to Jesus and the disciples. And remember what we kind of opened up with, that in every setting where Jesus is trying to be tripped up by the Pharisees and things are going on, he uses it as a teaching opportunity for the disciples. Jesus is ready to make the trek to Jerusalem, and the disciples, you know, are going to be the ones carrying the torch representing Jesus after his ascension into heaven, and he continues to be teaching them. So the disciples, who in the social environment of the time, just perhaps as today, are thinking, okay, there's conditions and ways that divorce is allowed. Jesus goes back to Genesis and says, that's not what God intended at all. So the disciples then come up with a wrong conclusion. Well, if that's the case, good grief, none of us can keep it. I guess it's better off never to marry. And Jesus, no, that's not what I'm saying at all. It's only better not to marry if you have been given the gift of singleness, of being able to devote full time to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then Jesus gives them three examples of eunuchs, those born without the ability to be a husband and father, those that perhaps castration. Back in these days, slavery, many times a slave would be castrated with the idea that then don't have to worry about the slave with the master's wife and all those sorts of things. And then for some, they have just been given the gift that they are able to stay single and the desires of sexuality. And Jesus is saying for those people that have been given this blessing, this is good. They can, they should and stay single. And I'm afraid in our society, this is me saying things now, I think in our society we put too much pressure sometimes on marriage. Somebody gets to be a few years older, you know, maybe, I don't know when, 20s, maybe 30, somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
And people, oh, haven't you been able to find somebody? Doesn't anybody want to marry you? What's wrong with you? Are you dating? What's going on? Well, no, there's many blessed people to remain single. And Jesus is saying here, no, marriage is not wrong, but for the single person who has been given that gift, that's a good thing. But for the person who has the desires, then it's a good thing for them to marry.
Let the one who is able to receive this receive it. You know, he even says, not everyone can receive this saying, but only those to whom it is given. And closes the paragraph, let the one who is able to receive it, receive this, receive it. What does this mean? Only some will receive this? Only some will understand it?
Well, no, I think it's some that will receive it, the blessing of being able to remain single. A good verse for me, I'm jumping on you a little bit, but let me quote for you from the Apostle Paul, who, of course, was single. In 1 Corinthians 7, verse 8, he says, now to the unmarried and the widows I say, it is good for them to stay unmarried as I am. But if they cannot control themselves, they should marry. For it is better to marry than burn with passion. And you know, inspired word of God from Paul there, I think that's kind of summing this up. Accepted, not accepted. Those that have the gift to remain single, then remain single. But if you have desires for the opposite sex, then marriage as God had intended and instituted.
Anything else up through verse 12 before we look at this last paragraph, Pastor?
No, I think we're okay.
Okay. Let's take a look at the last paragraph. Then children were brought to him that he might lay his hands on them and pray. The disciples rebuked the people, but Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and went away. So the people brought children to him that he might lay his hands on them and pray.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the disciples, again, they don't seem to always get it. They rebuked him, They rebuked those who brought them and wanted Jesus not to be bothered with little children, but Jesus says, let the children come unto me. And when I first started studying these passages, trying to do some prep work for this, well, good grief, what goes on here? How does this fit? This doesn't fit. We're talking about marriage, divorce, all these things. And then we tag on verses 13 to 15 about little children coming to Jesus. But the more you study and the more you think about it, it fits perfectly. What's going on here in my mind is the little children many times will think, oh, they're innocent, they're so good, they're so nice, and we need to be like little children. Well, perhaps in some ways we're in our adulthood we challenge things more, but I don't think that's what's getting at here. These children, of course, like all children and like adults, are not innocent, but they're lowly, powerless, and without the resources to do things for themselves. And as we think then back and look at this earlier verses, isn't that the way we are? As we think about loving our neighbor, loving our spouse, remaining single, loving our Lord, all of these things, we always fall short. And we cannot do it on our own. And it's the Spirit who makes us willing and able to love Jesus and repent and receive forgiveness of sins. And in every situation, it is God joining together of a sinful man and a sinful woman who on their own will never do it. And a couple things come to mind for me as I think about this. First is Ecclesiastes 4, verse 13. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. And I like to use this one with marriage counseling and marriage. You know, one strand of rope is so tight. Two strands of rope is, well, it's getting better. But boy, put three strands of rope together and you got something strong. And that is the third strand in that marriage then is Jesus. And so as we look at the little children coming to Jesus, they're innocent, not innocent, they're powerless, they're lowly. And such as we are, as we think about our relationships and our need for Jesus Christ to be the head of our household and the center of our marriage. If I may, I'm rambling probably here a little bit, but let me give you one more statistic or two. Some recent numbers I have been given is that in the United States today, one out of every three marriages end in divorce. This is just across the nation. However, if that husband and wife attend church services, the statistic goes to one out of every 40 marriages end in divorce, from 1 in 3 to 1 in 40. However, if that husband and wife not only attend church services, but also have a daily devotion in their home, that number goes from to 1 in 1,000. One in 1,000 for divorce, for couples that are in church and have a devotion daily in their home. So as we think about these little children coming and lowly and powerless and without resources, so it is for us as we try to have a pure married life, or we try to do all the things we need to do out of love, but our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who ultimately loved us in his death on the cross, also becomes that third strand in the rope, that head of the household, and keeps that marriage life together.
The disciples rebuked the people, but Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for such belongs to the kingdom of heaven." And he laid his hands on them and went away. Yeah. Jesus wants these little children to, he wants to bless these little children, wants them to know him.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would include all of us in, as these little children also. Jesus, you know, with his outstretched arms on the cross, are out also outstretched for each and every one of us. And you know, as I think about this, you know, there's probably some of your listeners this morning sitting there saying, well, you know, I did my best and I tried and things happened, but my relationship ended in divorce, or I'm on a second marriage, or whatever it may be. Well, Jesus also is there for us to repent and forgive sins. And, you know, if you have had a divorce and there's pain and suffering that goes along with that and maybe still some guilt-ridden, Jesus is there ready, just as the little children, to take him, you in his arms, hug you, hold you, forgive your sins, and move forward forgotten. Mm. And, you know, whether it's a remarriage then or not, but Jesus at the head, the center of everything that is going on. I did the sermonette that follows the 9 o'clock hour here, and so I don't want to repeat too much, but we can draw some parallels between the idea of marriage, of course, and Jesus, and of course he's the bridegroom, the church, the bride. But you know, we talk about the two becoming one. Well, Jesus came to earth, true man, true God, for our sins. And the two became one. He took all of our sins upon himself and gave us his righteousness. The two became one, a joyous exchange for us. And the idea of let not man separate, you know, Jesus came to earth, separation from his heavenly Father, and in that suffering and death for us, my God, why have you forsaken me? And so Jesus is there, the center of this, for forgiveness of sins, for love, for all of us being together in the marriage.
Going back to verse 13, when the disciples rebuked the people because for some reason they didn't want Jesus to be bothered by the children, I'm speculating here. They just didn't want Jesus to be bothered by the little children. I don't know what the reason is for certain here.
I think they're trying to protect him, or, oh, he's too busy for them, or... Remember, too, in ancient times, children were not thought of as highly as they are today. You know, they were more You know, some of the Greek word for children is the same as for slave. And so children, you know, were not put as they are here. So less respect, care for the children, not bothering Jesus. He's a busy man. And, you know, the disciples, they're trying, but they don't always get it.
Do we ever react like the disciples too? Don't bother Jesus with the children, or don't let the children bother Jesus.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, I will have people that I talk to from time to time and over the years, you know, oh, I don't want to bother Jesus with this, or, well, I've already asked him, I can't ask him again, or how many times can I ask him, or, well, I don't know how to ask him, all of those things. But here is Jesus, using with the illustration of the powerless child, lowly child, opening his arms, bring them to me, let him sit on my lap. And so there is Jesus ready for us with whatever we want to bring to him, as often as we need to bring it to him, and perhaps in not the most eloquent way of bringing it to him. But our God is a God of relationships, and he wants to have a trust, love relationship with each of us.
I also think of, you know, for example, the divine service. It's intended for people of all ages, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And sometimes those little children get a little squirrely. being a fairly new parent, we have a two-year-old, and sometimes he gets squirrely, and sometimes I get frustrated with him, and I think, oh, can't you just sit still and hear the gifts that God has for you, hear his word, and receive this the good gifts God has for you. And Jesus certainly wants him to receive those good gifts. But sometimes I get so frustrated that, you know, I question whether or not he should be there. But I know that God wants him there to receive these good gifts. This is the very reason. Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah, perfect. And absolutely. And we've all been there. My wife and I have two sons. We remember eons ago in church and struggling with little children. And, of course, for the parents, it's always worse than it is for everyone else. I will tell you from being up in the pulpit, perhaps, or looking around, I see children squirming, and I feel blessed that we have the little children there. And, some respect and discipline, but at the same time, how blessed we are that they are there. And they learn, and they catch on, and it all works out. But it can be some trying times for parents.
Indeed. But we know that God's gifts are for them. Jesus is just as much for them as he is for adults. He has come for all people. So
irregardless of age, irregardless of race, male, female, Jesus loves us all.
For to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. Pastor, looking over the text as a whole today, anything else you would have us learn from this text as we wrap up our study together?
No, I think we've hit things pretty well. Again, the idea of forgiveness of sins, where we fall short in our love, but yet how God, through Jesus, covers over all those sins in his love, and the whole idea of marriage and divorce and singleness and all those things that we've discussed here. And remember, taking this in the context that the Pharisees were trying to trip up Jesus, it's not that Jesus is sitting down and saying, well, let me tell you here about marriage. But boy, we can take some things away from what God intended here in marriage.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks be to God for his word, the gifts that are given, and even instruction given in his word. We've been studying the Daily New Testament Reading with Pastor Alan Boyster from Hope Lutheran Church in Granite City, Illinois. Pastor Boyster, thanks for being our guest pastor, helping us look at Matthew chapter 19 today.
Yeah, thank you also. You know, I the messenger of good news for 90 years, KFUO. I listen to it coming back and forth to church or going out on calls and enjoy it. Sometimes personal message, sometimes the music. Sometimes I pick up ideas for church, for Bible studies, for everything going on. So God continue to bless and lead you folks, because you're doing wonderful things there. I do appreciate the time. I want to, I don't know if my wife's listening this morning, but I've been blessed to just a few weeks ago to be married for 37 years to her. So for her putting up with me.
Well, congratulations and thanks be to God for those many years of blessings.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate your time this morning. It's been fun.
Thank you. God bless you and all the saints there at Hope Lutheran Church in Granite City, Illinois. Coming up in just a little bit, Witness Wednesday. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.